A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 91. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Survivors. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Most of the population of the world has been killed by a viral plague, and only small groups remaining, something like 1 in 15,000 people survive. Small groups remaining are struggling to survive and make their way in this new world where society is essentially gone. This was a classic BBC series that ran from 1975 to 1977. They produced a total of 38 episodes that ran for about 50 minutes each.
And as you say, Brian, one of the absolute classics of British science fiction television, and created by one of the giants of British television, Terry Nation, who we discussed in the last episode, had teamed up with one of the Doctor Who producers, Terence Dudley, to make the first series of Survivors. And we talked about the story of the first series in our last episode. And as we said, it was a critical success, so they got commissioned for a second series. But unfortunately, there was a bit of a split in the production team as to the sort of the future of the show. And in particular, Terry Nation and Terence Dudley disagreed at that point about how the series should continue. And the result, unfortunately, was that Terry Nation left the production team at the end of the first series. And as you say, you mentioned the last episode, Jack Rhonda had done some of the writing for the first series, and he took on the main writing chores, I think, for the second series of Survivors.
Yes, and that potentially did have some definite changes that resulted from that. Carolyn Seymour, who played Abby Grant, who was essentially the main character, or certainly one of the main three characters in Series 1, she had argued with Terence Dudley quite a bit, apparently, and there were some difficulties there, some apparently rather heated debates, and Dudley fired Carolyn Seymour. And in retrospect, in recent documentaries and interviews, Carolyn Seymour now confirms that there was some arguing that went on, and that a lot of the situation was because of her situation. She was actually an alcoholic at that time. And it was just around then that she realized that she was an alcoholic. And part of the fallout for that was the situation where she was fired and never appeared on Survivors again, which is unfortunate. And she went on to do a lot of other acting work and did a lot of work in the States. She was actually on Star Trek The Next Generation at one point as a Romulan. And things went on that way.
So it's a bit of a jolt at the end of the first series. Terry Nation leads the team. Carolyn Seymour goes. So we've got no more Abby Grant. So when the second season started in 1976, there was some changes needed to be made. So we're told that Abby Grant has left the group in order to go in search for her son, Peter. And also the base that they'd set up, the sort of community they'd set up, has been partly destroyed by a fire, which kills some of the group as well. And so Greg Preston and Jenny lead the remaining members of the group to join another community at a place called Whitecross, which has been run by Charles Vaughan, this character we met in one episode from the first series, but who's going to become much more important in the second and third series. And so they move there, and there they continue their struggles to survive, and this ongoing struggle to learn new skills, or I suppose, Brian, to relearn the old skills that have become forgotten.
Yes, it was a definite shift, but it was actually an interesting shift. Survivors as a series definitely had change as a big part of it, and the setting and the characters and things changed multiple times, even within the first series. So while it's definitely different, it does feel like a continuation for sure. And it had this feeling, it drove home the idea that what they had with the people they had and with this big house that they were living in, that it couldn't last forever, and things could very easily fall apart, and there could be a great deal of upheaval, which is exactly what happened. And they were forced to move and fall in with another group because their group was no longer something that could be maintained. And while it was a change that resulted from these production issues, I think within the story, it actually worked pretty well.
It does, yes. And we have this White Cross group, which are aiming for self-sufficiency. And so a lot of the second series is about that, about this self-sufficiency project and this reasonably cheerful community, which is sort of jointly run by Charles Vaughan and Greg Preston. But they will encounter some other groups. Some of those encounters will be friendly and some will be decidedly more hostile. But all good story elements for the second series.
Yes, where the first series was about the transition from just surviving and getting to somewhere safe into let's try to build a little, very small-scale commune with a bunch of people living in a house together. The second series was more let's try to get beyond that and build a community of a slightly larger bunch of people living in a bunch of houses nearby and build like a little sort of almost a little socialist commune. They talked about it being based on the Israeli kibbutz concept at times where everyone put in and did some of the work and everyone would get the things that they needed. So it was definitely an interesting transition, and they had lots of interesting things in this sort of different style in the second series.
Yeah, and I suppose for the mid-70s, the sort of self-sufficiency and the commune, they were quite popular topics at the time. And we've got this other theme from Survivors, which is that possibly the virus was man-made, that this was some form of germ warfare. And that the danger came from the East, as is suggested by the title sequence of the show. So sort of two, I suppose, running themes that were reasonably common in the 70s. And here they are cropping up again in British science fiction television.
That's right. And then going into the third series of Survivors, again, there was a shift. At this point, the main writing duties were taken over by Martin Wirth. And this was more about trying to reestablish society in a larger scale way rather than just this little community. It was more about, instead of being in this small and sort of cozy little White Cross community, it was more about traveling out into the country and trying to establish communications links. At the end of Series 2, Greg went off to try to reestablish bits of power infrastructure and even little bits of industry and setting up these communications links. There were also these ideas, once that happened, of searching for Greg because they were no longer quite sure where he was. And Jenny, who was more or less married to him at that point, was very much trying to chase after him and figure out where he had gone, because trying to establish communications links didn't always work at that point.
Yeah, Series 3 has a tougher look to it again. As you say, it's moved away from the cozy confines of White Cross and finding that life out there in Britain is pretty tough as they struggle to reestablish some form of society and they struggle in the hunt for Greg Preston. They'll come across some very unpleasant situations that will really put the survivors to the test.
Yes, they come across people who have basically set themselves up as warlords. They come across things with dealing with other health issues and dealing with rabies and rabid animals at one point. They do get into some fairly grim and bleak things, but they have some pretty interesting stories in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of interesting stories in both the second and the third series. And, you know, Survivors keeps up this consistent level of being interesting throughout and having interesting ideas.
Crystallize it, purify it with animal charcoal.
Charles, I'm not sure if I'm going to stay.
Jenny must have her baby here.
Yes. I'd like to get all that over and done with, but when it's the spring, I think we ought to move on and find a place for ourselves.
Greg, I can't keep you till the spring, not without working.
You don't have to tell me that. You know we'll work.
It means digging, Greg. Putting your resources into the soil. You're going to leave that? Leave your investment? It doesn't make sense, does it? And then what would you do? Find a fallow field and start working on it a couple of months late?
Charles, we get on well enough, but you know as well as I do, there just isn't room for the two of us here.
Oh.
So we'll leave when it's spring.
This sort of setup, there's room for both of us.
Now, speaking of interesting episodes, we should talk about a few episodes here and there. There are lots of interesting episodes, but let's highlight a few of them.
Okay, so from 38 episodes, let's start with the first two, which were called The Fourth Horseman and the second episode, Genesis. And as we discussed in the last show, this really sets up the premise. It sets up the viral plague, which has wiped out most of the world's population, the death, as it's referred to. And it introduces us to Abby and Greg and to Jenny, and begins to show some of the ideas that Terry Nation had about trying to form a new society, or how you would manage to survive in this bleak post-apocalyptic world. So those are two key episodes right at the start, Brian.
Yes, that's right. There was a scene in the first episode where Jenny visits a friend of hers who is a doctor. She visits this guy in a hospital, and he tells Jenny and tells us, the audience, just how bad the situation is. This is not something that we can recover from. Things are falling apart. And he tells Jenny, get out of the cities. It doesn't matter if you're immune to this, because pretty soon we won't be able to bury the dead, and there will be all kinds of problems, and you have to get out into the country to avoid that. And that certainly set the tone for things, that particular scene.
Yes, another powerful scene, another bleak moment in the early episodes of Survivors.
There was an episode later in Series 1 called Law and Order, which took place when they had already set up a little sort of commune of several people living in a large house. There were maybe somewhere around a dozen people living there. And the episode started off being quite light in tone, and sort of the people having a bit of a celebration for all of their hard work that they had put in and so on. But it does not remain a sort of upbeat, happy episode for very long. Partway through, we discover that one of the characters who has been there for a number of episodes has died. And the question of how that person has died and what the implications are, was there a murder? How do they deal with that? There are no longer jails and a correctional system or courts. There are no longer real ways of dealing with this type of situation. And there is also something that fits into it with one character who had been there for a while, who is mentally disabled. And how does he fit into this? And how do other characters fit into this? And I'm not going to give all of the details because it is a very good episode and I don't want to spoil it for people. But it gets into a lot of issues of dealing with crime and dealing with investigating crime and dealing with the mentally disabled. And when there are no professionals for dealing with that, well, what do you do for dealing with those situations? And there are other issues that it deals with as well. And it is really quite powerful and very impressive as a piece of television.
It is, absolutely. It's an astonishing piece of television, a quite remarkable 50 minutes. And as you say, all these issues, and particularly this idea of, you know, what do you do when somebody has broken the rules of your new society? And how do you deal with that? It's a very impressive episode. The performances are just quite staggering in this episode, Brian, I think.
Yes, they are.
And the writing is top-notch. So, yeah, Law and Order, very much one of the highlights of the first season of Survivors. In the second season, we had two episodes called The Lights of London. in which a character called Ruth, who's a medical student, so obviously quite important to the group at Whitecross, and she gets lured away to London. And we find that although we thought London was just full of the dead, there actually is a community surviving in London, and they're surviving in the underground. And there's another character played by the actor Roger Lloyd Pack, who is in conflict with the group. And the group want to keep Ruth there because they need her medical skills. And that, of course, leads Greg and Charles to have to travel to London in order to try and get her back. So that's quite an interesting pair of episodes as well, Brian, in the second series.
Yes, in some ways it was a bit of a departure for the series. It sort of went in a different way just for those two episodes that was not really like anything else they had done or would continue to do. And things shifted back to more of their usual fare after that. But it definitely had some interesting things in it, as always, playing with interesting ideas and interesting situations for the characters.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, there's two good episodes there, perhaps not quite reaching the dizzy heights of Law and Order, but, you know, interesting for the second season.
A Friend in Need was also in the second series. It was actually the first episode that was written by Ian McCulloch, the actor who played Greg Preston. And it was an interesting episode because it involved this idea of the community at Whitecross reaching out to other communities and holding a meeting to say to leaders and representatives from these other communities, let's set up something of a federation. Let's build something up where we can have some communication, share resources, and share protection. You know, let's help defend each other from people who might come along. And of course, the responses to this idea are not uniformly positive. There are a lot of disputes and people not taking the idea seriously and people being quite defensive about it. So there are some interesting ideas in that sort of development of how do we push on from what we have now. And maybe it's harder than we thought. It's not easy to do that. And at the same time, we also have a new threat introduced in this episode, and that is a sniper, some mysterious character who's running around from one community to another and sort of hiding and shooting people and killing people. It's not clear who's doing this and how, and there are questions about what does this mean for the idea of this federation. Is that something that it might be useful to have the communication to deal with that type of situation and help bring different people in to deal with this murderer, with this threat?
And it starts those ideas of federated communities, which will be important in the third series, and in which Greg will be away for much of the third series, trying to build up some form of federated society. So it's you know, it's where that stuff starts. And then in the third series, we'll pick out one episode which was a particular favourite of mine, an episode called Mad Dog. And this is where the character of Charles Vaughan comes into contact with rabies and a group of hunters, believing him to be infected, literally hunt him through some rather bleak countryside. And it's a very sort of episode focusing on Charles Vaughan and his sort of struggle to get out of this situation. So it is sort of a single man on the run. But it's quite a good episode. Lots of enjoyable stuff and some very enjoyable scenery to look at, Brian.
Yes, it's a good example of that sort of bleak, out on the run kind of feel that the third series had.
And it's not just a favourite of mine. If you will look for it on the internet, you will find there is a website devoted to this one episode alone and to visiting the various locations that it was shot on. So it's obviously quite popular with some other people out there as well.
Interesting.
And while we're mentioning standout episodes, as always, we're grateful for Tony Bellows on the Facebook group, who's always got useful comments on these shows. And in the thread on Survivors there, he points out his favourite episodes. So you could pop over to the Facebook group and have a look. He particularly recommends Corn Dolly and Gone to the Angels from the first series and an episode called The Witch, which was in the second series, I believe, Brian.
Yes, those were also all interesting episodes with some interesting ideas and sort of challenges in them.
So another thing we like to do on British Invaders is talk about spin-offs from the show, if there are any. And there's a few here to talk about, Brian. We've got Terry Nation's book, his novelization of the first series called Survivors, published in 1976. It starts with the same starting point and the same characters, so it's very much, it covers the events of the first two episodes we've discussed, The Fourth Horseman and Genesis. And then it includes another episode from the first series called Garland's War. But then it sort of diverges quite dramatically away from the storyline of the first series, and perhaps, I suppose, gives us some indication of where Terry Nation intended to take the story beyond the point where he left the show.
That's right. There was also actually a second novel. There was a sequel to that novel. It was not written by Terry Nation. It had a different author. And it continued things, but in a different direction than Series 2 did. It was unrelated to anything that was done on TV, but there was that follow-up of it that came out in the 70s as well. There was also something that is quite well-known. The BBC did a remake of Survivors in 2008. It aired from 2008 to 2010 in 2 6-episode series. It was quite different from the original series from the 1970s. It introduced quite a few new characters. It had a couple of the central characters were in it and were quite similar to how they were originally. That is, Greg and Abby were both very prominent in the new series as well as the original. It also introduced lots of new characters. There were some characters that had the same names as original characters, for instance, Tom Price, but had no real similarity in character. It was just a name that they were reusing, but the character was almost completely different. They also had some characters that were quite similar to original characters, but had different names.
Yeah, as you say, Tom Price in the remake is quite a different character. You know, it's he's unrecognizable from the first series. But they did some interesting things. You know, they crammed in quite a lot into two short series of 6 episodes each. We should point out that in the remake, Greg Preston is played by our favorite, Patterson Joseph, who must be make the most frequent mention, I think, of actors on British Invaders, Brian, or certainly up there.
He's definitely up there.
He's in a lot of shows we've discussed.
Well, of the more recent things we've discussed, he's certainly the most frequent one, I think.
Yeah. Interestingly, they had to base the remake on Terry Nation's novel to avoid some copyright problems with the owners of the rights to the original television series. I'm not quite sure how that worked out, but it was very clearly marketed as an adaptation of Nation's novel rather than the original series.
Yes, the novel, which was in fact based on much of Series 1 of the original series. There were some references to the original series rather than to the novel, I think. If you look in the first episode, there was like a 2-hour pilot episode to the new series. And it had some camera shots in it that were the same as ones that were used in the original series. Certainly, the shots of Abby driving in her car, there were some that were done from the same angle and were really sort of the same shots of the same character as the original series. And a couple of the scenes in London with Jenny were done in a very similar way in the new series as well.
Okay. It doesn't look quite as bleak and as desolate as the original series. It has a slightly friendlier and perhaps cozier look to it, partly because I suppose it's so modern looking. Again, talking about Facebook, Paul Gleave mentioned on our Facebook group that he had watched the remake, and he felt it was a little bit sort of clean and cheerful and a bit too nice, and that the real situation would have been a lot worse than the one portrayed by the BBC.
The new series is definitely quite different compared to the original. It has some of the same ideas in it, a lot of the same ideas in it, and a couple episodes here and there are sort of adapted from the original series, but a lot of the approach and a lot of the ideas as well and the characters were done in quite a different way, I would say.
Okay. I'll just point out quickly that the actor Roger Lloyd Pack appeared in the remake and is, I think, the only actor who appeared in both the original series and the remake. So nice to see him showing up, another very popular British actor.
Well, whatever it is, he found it not far from us, just northwest of Hereford.
And here around Northampton, too.
Kvig means cattle.
Huh? And there's something else near Northampton. Garverei, Garverei, G-A-R-V-E-R-I. And a line from that word goes to Hereford too.
Tannery. There's something marked here at Whitney. It looks like Eve. No, it's Viva. V-E-B-E-R.
What's this word here, Pran? There's a line from it that runs to somewhere on the Thames. And to the Severn too.
Viva, Weaver. At Whitney, did you say?
Well, that's what it points to.
Well, they used to make blankets at Whitney.
From Cotswold wool.
What's the sheep at Chipping Campden?
Weavers, Whitney, wool at Chipping Campden. I wonder if they even knew about each other.
Now, as always, we should look at a bit of what we thought about Survivors. A little bit of the good and the bad. So, Eamon, what did you think about Survivors?
Well, I think we've got a lot of good things to talk about, Brian, many of which I think we've covered as we've gone along. But just to reiterate, fascinating ideas. Again, this concept of different responses to the apocalypse and how people cope with it. So, you know, lots of interesting stuff put up on screen by Terry Nation and the other writers for us to look at.
That's right. That's definitely true. We also had some very good performances in this, certainly with the three main characters in series one, but even throughout the whole series, there were some very strong performances, and they put a lot of weight on the performances. They allowed them, they allowed the actors to really do something with that. And that was really worthwhile. It really added something.
Yes. I mean, as we've said, the characters really develop through the story of Survivors, and the actors given a lot to work with and do it very well. Great performances throughout and great sort of impressive cast list, really. You know, lots of the key British actors of the time showing up on screen.
I also like the sense of continuity in this. This was definitely not a series where they would reset back to the same situation at the end of every episode. It was something where situations changed and evolved. The approaches and the things that the characters did would change as the characters developed. There was lots of character development. There was a lot of changing situation over the course of it. And as they go through this three series, you know, 3 years of broadcast time, they had a very different situation evolving as they went from being immediately after this disaster, the plague that's just called the death, to something where it's been a while since that's happened, to it's been quite a while, to people's lives have moved on and old civilization is not part of how people are thinking of things anymore. And, you know, they've moved on from having a lot of resources that are still there and really accessible, with people still using vehicles and gasoline a lot and things, to something that has evolved a long way from that, where they can't use a lot of these things because too much time has passed. Often there'd be like a direct sequel or continuation to one episode that would show up a few episodes later. You know, there were definitely consequences to things, and that was something I really appreciated.
Yes, it is, you know, it's good stuff, and the fact that these storylines continue to develop and have implications and repercussions later on. The production and the look and the sound and the feel of the Survivors is very impressive. I mean, we've mentioned the photography and the desolate location shooting, and the fact that it doesn't look nice. It looks, you know, cold and bleak and difficult to survive in, and that's all very good. And of course, as you said, Brian, you've mentioned before, the lack of incidental music sort of contributes to that that tone, that feel.
It's very stark, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, that's a good word, stark and bleak, yeah.
Doing it with no incidental music and some of the other things, you know, I think they stepped back from some of the usual conventions of lighting and things. So it meant that they would hang a lot of the program and the feel of it on the writing and the dialogue and the performances. And you really got performances shining through in this and dialogue shining through, because so many of the other trappings and the things that would sort of tell you what to think and what to feel through other cues, so many of those weren't there. And that made this stand out as being a very different type of series.
We should also mention, I think, the opening sequence. Again, another very impressive title sequence, All these key shows seem to have these memorable titles, Brian. Certainly worth checking out on YouTube if you can remember it from the 70s. It will bring it all back.
Yes, absolutely. It was interesting because the title sequence tells the larger sort of global story of what happened with this disease outbreak and how it basically started in one place and traveled everywhere and affected the entire world. And it tells that sort of global story where within the episodes themselves, they never cover that global story, really. It's all about the personal level and the local things that are happening and how this is actually affecting people.
Okay, so lots of good stuff, lots of good features to talk about. What about the stuff that was less good, Brian? Were there any elements that you were less impressed with?
Well, honestly, there were not all that many things that I was disappointed with because this really was very strong as a show. It should be noted that a lot of people have said that Series 2 is not as good as Series 1 and Series 3 is not as good as Series 2. And I think in some ways that's true. I think Series 1 was the strongest one, and in some ways Series 3 was the weakest one, although that's a harder call between Series 2 and Series 3. But I think nonetheless it's true that throughout the series there were strong episodes, and there was a lot to offer in Series 2 and in Series 3. They, you know, they're different, and some of the strong points and some of the really interesting things in character chemistry with Series 1, some of those weren't there in Series 2 and Series 3. But the changes from series to series did help emphasize the types of things that people were going through and the change that was there. And there were some very strong things that came in later, for sure.
So 38 episodes, I guess we would expect that there would be some areas that are not quite as good, or some episodes not quite as good. And as you say, the lurch at the end of the first series and the change of setting for the second series is a little bit disconcerting, particularly if you watch it straight through from the end of one into two. So that can cause a little bit of a problem.
It can. I don't think that's a huge issue. I think it's been overplayed, but it is a bit of an issue. What about you, Eamon? What do you think are weaknesses here?
Well, we should also point out that it has been criticized for being a bit middle class, and that showing that the most of the good characters are middle class and that most of the villainous characters appear to be working class. And of course, when that was pointed out in one of the reviews I read, it did seem to stand out a little bit, and particularly in some of the episodes. And it does get this, you know, occasionally get this label, which is probably means more to British listeners, that it's sometimes labelled as the Archers with Guns, which refers to a popular long-running radio soap opera about farming communities in rural England.
Yeah, I think some of those criticisms are a little overplayed, and people found especially the second series to be rather clean-looking and rather cozy compared to how we might want to see it. But all in all, I think, again, those things may be a little overstated. I think it worked pretty well on that level for the most part as well. And the point about the working class villains, while it's true, there were a couple of characters like that. I think it also needs to be pointed out that for the most part, they weren't really villains in the sense that they had an understandable viewpoint as well. They weren't just all bad. They were as close as you had to villains in a show like this, but they were people who were trying to make their way in this world as best they could in their own way.
Okay, so, you know, there may be some slight criticisms of class politics, but in other areas, it was quite progressive. We've got, certainly in terms of gender politics, it was very forward-looking, has very strong roles for women, who are shown, you know, particularly in the case of Abby Grant, as being leaders of the new communities.
Yes, in Series 1, it was sort of based around this three-character chemistry of Abby Grant, Greg Preston, and Jenny Richards. And, of course, two of the three were women, and while the strong person of the two women was definitely Abby, Jenny also had a lot of personality, as did Greg. And there was something that was really powerful that was set up there, as well as other characters being involved too. It was also progressive in dealing with issues. It looked at these issues of how do we depend on society and what would you do without society. It looked at those very well and very thoroughly, and over all three series, it kept pulling out more issues and more things that would make you think. And I think it was very powerful in that way.
Okay, so as sometimes happens when we talk about the bad elements of the show, we sort of manage to bring it back to what's good about the show.
What did you think of the pacing in the episodes?
I think on the whole, it's pretty good for 50-minute episodes. I mean, there are occasional bits where it drags slightly, but I just think that's sort of, you know, the patchy quality you might expect for a long-running show. On the whole, watching it through again recently, I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I agree. I like the type of pacing it used quite a bit. Some people find that it's a little bit slow compared to modern pacing, but I think nonetheless it works really well on the level of pacing.
Okay.
I think that's a good point to bring us into the question, what do you think about the new series, Eamon?
Oh, I quite enjoyed the new series. I mean, I think it's quite clearly it's not the 1970s show at all. You have to, I think, divorce the two completely. But if you look at it as a completely standalone show, I quite enjoyed it. I thought it zipped along, and I was somewhat disappointed when it didn't get a third season.
Okay. I found it was okay. It is definitely not my favorite series. I don't think it's as good as the original Survivors. I really don't. But it's an okay series on its own merits.
Okay, as you say, I mean, it isn't as good as the original, but it has some interesting stuff. And of course, it has some interesting performances with our old friend Patterson Joseph again.
Absolutely. And if you have seen the new series, but you have not seen the original, there are quite a few people now who are in that situation. Take a look at the original series. We would love to hear what you think about the original once you've seen the new series. So if you get the chance to look at the original, I'd love to hear what you think about it.
Okay, which probably takes us to the availability of these shows and how you can watch them if you decide to. So, the original series is available on a complete box set of all three series. It also includes a documentary called The Cult of Survivors, which, similar to other documentaries we've mentioned in the past, does contain some spoilers, so be careful when you watch that one in relation to your viewing of the series itself.
Yes, I think it's actually on the disc for the end of series two, but finish series three before you watch that documentary.
Yes, I think that's fair. That's available on amazon.co.uk for about £18 for the whole thing.
And there is a very similar set on Region 1. I believe the extra features are about the same. I think it uses double-sided discs, so it doesn't have as many discs, but it is very similar. It's available on amazon.com and amazon.ca. It runs for about $57 or so.
Okay. The original series is also available on both the Love Film and the Netflix rental sites, so you can get them for rental. And you can also buy the remake series that we've been mentioning briefly. The 2008 series is available on DVD for about £16 for both series.
Yes, and that DVD set, of course, is available on Region 1 in North America as well. The remake series is available on iTunes in some countries, both in high definition and standard definition. It is also available on Netflix streaming or Netflix Instant in both the US and Canada. So the new one is definitely widely available in several different ways. And Terry Nation's novelization, the tie-in novel, was reissued with the remake, and that is still in print and it is widely available.
Okay. So, having told you, as ever, how you can get hold of this stuff, we have to come to our recommendations of should you get hold of this stuff. And I think we know how it's going to go, Brian, but do you want to kick us off?
Sure. I will start with the original series, which is a classic. It is a great piece of television, so definitely a strong recommendation for me on this. The first series is the strongest. You know, it's absolutely top drawer, outstanding television, 13 episodes straight through. Series 2 and Series 3 are also very good, so it is all well worth watching, strongly recommended, very good stuff.
Yes, and it's going to be a strong recommendation from me as well for the original series. As you say, one of the classics, but something that really has stood up well over the years. Great writing, great ideas, great performances, great photography, really some very entertaining and challenging television. Over the three series. So yes, a definite two thumbs up recommendation from British Invaders.
I have not yet read the novel. I would like to, but I haven't had the chance to read that, so I won't comment on recommendations for that. Eamon, have you read the novel?
I have read the novel, yes. It is quite entertaining. It does take some of the characters in a completely different way, so it can be slightly shocking if you've watched the TV series. But yeah, it's a pretty good novelization. And the remake series, Brian?
I would say the remake series is pretty good. It's maybe worth checking out. It certainly would not be as strong a recommendation as the original series. If you haven't seen any form of Survivors, go and check out the original. If you've seen the original and are curious, by all means, the new series is okay. So I would say you could check it out.
Absolutely. The remake's pretty good. The novel's pretty good. But the original series is the business. Go back and find that. It's the one to watch.
So, in summary, Survivors was a BBC series from the mid-1970s that ran for three seasons and began with a plague that wiped out most of the world's populations, only about 1 in 15,000 people surviving. The story that we were told over 3 years was the story of what the survivors did, how they made their way, what types of things they would do, what problems they would encounter, how they would solve those problems, and in some cases, how they would not solve those problems, and how some of them ultimately did not survive. It brought us through a journey for characters and groups of characters that was very interesting and quite thought-provoking.
It's one of the towering giants of British science fiction television. Very well summarised. One to check out. So, do come back and join us next time when we're going to jump forward to 2006 and to ITV and consider a show called 11th Hour, which was a hard scientific investigation show starring Patrick Stewart. It's also a show that's had a recent American remake as well.
Yes, it's interesting because it is science fiction in the way that the things that are being investigated are science related and are usually just a little bit ahead of current science. So it's just that little bit of speculation into the science of the future.
And as always, if you've seen Survivors or 11th Hour, please jump in on our Facebook group and tell us what you think.
Absolutely. You can reach us at britishinvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.britishinvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Do come back next time, and until then, this is Eamon in England saying, trust Greg Preston.